Amen.
Amen.
You're welcome back to the studio session of the Beth Israel Ministries, replying Dr. Abel Damina in his teachings and doctrines. Now, we have established that the angels were not created on the same day with men. In fact, angels were there when God was creating the world. That is why Lucifer was able to deceive them. Because he was the one leading the angels. So when God gave command, let there be, they made it. Let there be. For the word of God is substance. See, the word of God is such that if God said, let there be stick, all right, stick will appear. You get what I'm saying? So the angels were obeying the voice of the word of God and putting these things together according to their expertise. And Lucifer, being the leader of them, was claiming rights. Now you need to understand how Lucifer took down one third of angels. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he took them down by his tail. He drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to the earth. And his tail did that. Now, we will think it is one long tail. Ooh, no. You need to understand the whole thing. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. So that we can see what this man of God meant by tail. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head. The prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. So you see, it is with lies, with false prophecy, with false teaching, and false doctrine, that he was able to pull the angels to himself. So the tail there represents false teachings. So Lucifer was teaching error, and the errors are already in the Bible. I don't have the time to deal with that today. What Lucifer was teaching them is inside this Bible. Lucifer was spreading information, claiming right to the throne by reason of works. That is why the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lucifer was formed, and in works, he excelled the other angels. He became the covering cherub. He led them in many expeditions, anything God wanted to do. And based on his excellence, due to his hard work, due to his labor, he began to take credit for it and began to believe that because he has excelled, because he has done so much, he should be welcomed into the hall of fame, the hall of God. He should also, he has done enough to be invited by God into the Godhead above the other angels. They should reward him with being also inside the secret room of God. That is why the law belongs to angels, and the law is of works. You are rewarded according to your works. So that is what he was claiming. For the law was given to Moses by God, by the hand of angels. And it was all about works, 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 works. So he excelled in works. They do the works. They do the works. They do the job. And he was most excellent and did everything well, perfectly, as God wants it. And he expected a reward for it. And what he wanted was to become a member of the Godhead, to be like the Most High, to sit on the seat of God. What Jesus said, I overcame, I have sat on the seat of my Father. He wants to sit there also. And when he wasn't granted, he began to spread slander against the Lord. That's why the Bible said, the reproach with which men reproach thee has fallen on me. He began to reproach God. All this is very deep, very deep teachings that I don't have the time to take you into. Amen. And angels sympathized with him. Angels also sympathize with him, because if it better for Lucifer, it go better for us. PDP, APC, if your president win, no go get appointment. Why do you think Mr. Okri always shouted on the internet against Peter Obi? Because he believed the vote of Peter Obi and the vote of Atiku could have resulted in a greater victory. And that is not because he loves Atiku, but because appointment will come for him. So now Bele, everybody is looking for his own belly. So the angels were furious, and they listened to the side of the story of Lucifer with false teaching, with false claim, with false doctrine, with heresy. He drew 1/3 of angels to his side. And that sharp division among the angelic ranks led to war, which the Bible says, fire from the midst of thee, in the book of Ezekiel. That led to his loss and his fall. This other war in Revelation is angels against him, but we are supplying the teaching. We, the brethren, overcame him by the word we teach. We gave the angels the muscle superior to Lucifer's bow. And he was cast down finally again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, he said it is with the false teaching, false doctrine. That is why I'm telling you right now, there is a sharp divide going on in the earth. Some people are teaching this Bible falsely, wrongly. That's the tale of the devil. False teachers and false prophets. They are gathering humans to themselves. That's why if you don't want to fall into the category of false prophet, please chew the word of God, chew it again, chew it again. Don't be in a hurry. Because one thing about falsehood, once you start, it is hard to retrace yourself. For two reasons. One, because it is sweet, you keep going down that line. You begin to get people clapping for you. You keep going down that line. Two, pride. You may not be able to turn back, even when you know you are wrong. Pride. So it's a dangerous thing to start. Therefore, many true prophets missed it. They were true pastors. Suddenly, they wanted to teach deep revelations, deep things of the Spirit, and they now began to teach nonsense. At the end of the day, they stray into falsehood, and they carried so many people with them. So that's what the devil did. He strayed into falsehood, began to tell things as it was not, so that he can turn the hearts of people against God. And he succeeded to turn 1/3 of angels. Now, 1/3 of angels are more than the number of human beings in the earth, times 10. So you understand how powerful that doctrine was. It went around the whole globe, wherever angels were, in any planets that angels were, in Mars, in Jupiter, in Neptune, all. And angels chose sides. Michael also stood up with the true doctrine, with the truth on the side of God, and spoke, and 2/3 of angels believed. That is why when people are teaching like Abel Damina, we can't keep quiet. Because it is doctrine, and doctrine takes crowd. So people must believe him if nobody challenges some of the things he's saying. Because the middle line is Jesus. Jesus is being mentioned. And once Jesus is mentioned, everybody will be confused as to, he's mentioning Jesus. He must be a man of God. That's why Jesus said, many shall come and say, I am the Christ, but they shall lead many astray. They shall agree that, yes, Jesus is Lord. The last day message is going to be Jesus, Jesus. They will discover that denying the lordship of Jesus will not profit them. So they will agree, yes, Jesus is Lord. But underneath that agreement that Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Lord, they are leading people into sin, leading people slyly into disobedience, leading people into disobedience, like Abel is leading people into disobedience in tithing in the name of Jesus. That's why we're going to listen to this next, this thing that will inform our actions, our next teaching. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to listen to the next video. Amen. Amen.
If you were invited to preach in a classroom where you have Bill Gates, you have Elon Musk, you have Aliko Dangote, you have Warren Buffett, and some of the sheikhs in the Middle East that are multi-billionaires in dollars, and about 20 of them are in a class, when you go to that class, will you preach prosperity? He said, no. I said, why? He said, because all of them are prosperous.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You heard that? He said, a man was talking with him with issues of prosperity, and he now asked the man that if you were invited to where billionaires of this world are gathered to speak, will you speak on prosperity? And the man said no. He said, why? He said, because they are already rich. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, the backdrop, he was preaching against, he's calling prosperity another gospel. Now, that's not the gospel that the church is supposed to preach. That is a useless nonsense gospel he used to preach before. That it's another gospel. It is not the gospel of Christ. That what the church is supposed to preach is Christ, Christ, Christ. But not prosperity. That is another gospel. Do you know that if you don't preach prosperity, it's as good as don't preach humility. Don't preach love. Don't preach kindness. Because what he is saying is that humility, love, kindness, peace, joy, these are attributes of Jesus, but prosperity is not the attribute of Jesus. Because if you are to preach Christ, you must preach all his attributes. For we are here seated to hear about Christ, and hear about his attributes, so that we imbibe those attributes. You understand? And we are able to live as Christ lives. So we are being grown and fed with the milk of the word of God, and with the bread of the word of God, and with the meat of the word of God, and with the bones of the word of God. So that we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So if you say that you want to preach Christ, it means you want to preach him and all his attributes. What he's saying here is that prosperity is not one of the attributes of Christ. For if you can't preach prosperity to Warren Buffett, then it means Warren Buffett is bigger than Christ. So prosperity is not in Christ. Prosperity is a rubbish teaching. It belongs to the world, not to the church. That is what he's saying. So we need to understand if that is true. Amen? Recently, Bishop David Oyedepo made a statement that said, giving will not make you rich. They did not let the full teaching play out. They cut that little portion and put it out and said, look at the barber of prosperity. He's now accepting that all this giving is not a secret of riches. And the full message was not played out. Just that portion, they cut it so that they will justify this thing that this man is saying. And he himself came out and was beginning to say that look at the person, the people of prosperity. He's now ironically trying to correct his message. But when you listen to the whole message of Bishop David Oyedepo, you will see that it is not different from what he has said before. Oyedepo has said many times, you don't give and go and sit down. You give and you walk. It is that in your workplace that giving will reflect. And they just cut that small place and put it on the internet to make it look like the preaching of Abel Damina is now hitting some people. They will soon come to accept him. In other words, prosperity teaching is a scam, a means by which we use to scam people to collect money from them. Let's look at the Bible and see if it is true. If there is no prosperity in Christ. First of all, I told you that this gospel of salvation is unnecessary gospel. It was never supposed to be preached on earth. There was never supposed to be the gospel of the cross. There was never supposed to be a time when we tell people, Jesus died for you to save your sins, to save you from sin. It was not in the original mind of God, in the original plan of God. God never planned it, that I will cause man to sin, then I will come and die for man. It was not the making of God. So this teaching about Jesus died for you is not supposed to be taught in the church of God. The church was started with Adam and Eve. Jesus was the creator of Adam and Eve, for he was with the Father in the beginning. Without him, nothing was made that was made. So it is not when he came into the womb of Mary that he incarnated and became Jesus. He was the Son of God from the beginning. If time will permit me, I will show you how. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ used to come and meet with Adam and Eve, have fellowship with them, until the day that Satan deceived them. That was the day that Adam and Eve, their fellowship with Jesus was broken, and the church was without the head, and it was driven out of the garden. Amen.
Amen.
Why did God drive Adam and Eve out of the garden? Because if he didn't, it would be injustice. For Lucifer was the one in the garden before. But when Lucifer rebelled, they drove him out, cast him to hell. Now he drove man out of the garden. He said, from the earth you are taken, to the earth you will go. He cast him to where he was taken from. And man went without God. And that is why God came to die. Jesus now came to die for man. For Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in their midst. It has always been his character. He was the one there. The church would have grown in number, numerically, and filled the earth. And there would be no need to preach salvation message. So salvation message is an improvisation because of the fall of man. It is not the original message of God. It was never the original message of God to come and tell us that Jesus died for our sin. Jesus took us from hell. Jesus killed the devil. Jesus destroyed the devil. It was not supposed to be. That was not the program of God. If not that the man of God stopped walking by faith. For he gave Adam faith. In the day you shall eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And that word was a word of faith. And Adam believed that word. And as long as he believed it, he stayed away from that tree and he never died. But when Lucifer came in the serpent and gave them another word, you shall not surely die. They believed that one. And that is why they ate the tree and they died. So if they had continued to believe, you shall surely die, would they have eaten the tree till today? Till tomorrow? They will remain faithful. For faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God gave them the word. God did not do for Adam less than what he's doing for us, or more than what he's doing for us. It is by the word that Christians are kept. It is by the word that the Jews were kept. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. That is the word that kept them. It prevented them from stealing. It prevented them from killing. Those who disobeyed the word, they died. So why do you think that we, the children of God, if we disobey the word because we are born again, we will not die? The Bible says, if in the case of Moses, that's the book of Hebrews, in the case of Moses, that if you disobeyed, you met with judgment instantly. How much more? That means in our own case, it is worse. Because God has nothing else to hold you with except by the word. If you hold the word of God, you are a man of faith. If you doubt the word of God, you have unbelief. It's to him that believeth. So when you believe, you keep believing. The day you stop believing, that day you are no longer among believers. And believing has actions. And when I see your actions, I know you are a believer. But when you do an action of the devil, you are not a believer. So that word ceases to work for you. It is him that believeth. It is him that believeth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So what is the true gospel if salvation was not the original gospel, but an improvisation that was made because of the fall of man? Then, if the church never met with the fall, if Adam never fell, and Jesus and Adam kept on having fellowship, and Adam had Cain and Abel in the garden, and they had children and children and children, and the earth was growing and growing and growing and growing, and the whole earth was populated, and they remained in faith with Christ, will Jesus now tell them, I am the one who died on the cross? For what? For what? Will Jesus now tell them, I am the one who died for your sin? For what? Which sin? Which disobedience? So you see, the gospel is useless. That gospel was meaningless. That's why it's called foolishness. But with that foolishness, God has saved us. Amen? But it was never supposed to be, for it is foolishness in itself. If not that man disobeyed. So what was the original gospel of God that man was supposed to obey? First of all, we will know the assignment that God gave to man. Abel Damina said, when God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, that he wasn't Adam, he was Christ. Now that scripture was not talking about Adam, it was talking about Jesus. For it was a prophecy that God will, that the seed, that man, Jesus, will come in the image of God. Then he now went to the book of Paul and said, for he is the express image of God. So he has proved himself. I say, Kai, do you know how notorious, how ridiculous that thing is? Do you know that anything, he said, without him, nothing was made that was made. Anything that God didn't say before he made it, God cannot claim it. The reason God claims everything is because he spoke about it before it happened. So that is why he claims it. That is why he made the angels unable to walk on their own, except they hear the beating of the voice of the word of God. So that if he tells this water to move from here to there, an angel moved it from here to there, the angel can't claim that he's the one who moved it. He will say, it's the word of God that moved the water, because he moved by the word. Amen? So God, if the first word that God spoke, this one that he spoke here, if this one that God spoke, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Now, if this word was not Adam, it was Christ, then it means Christ is created. And if Christ is created, then he cannot be the creator. For the Bible tells us that Christ was with God before creation, and that he was a co-creator. Without him, nothing was made that was made. For all things were made by him and for him. So if he is this one that God created, then it means Christ is not God, for he is created. Number one, ridicule of that statement. It means Christ cannot claim to be God, because if this word represents him, it means Christ was a created person and he was not in existence with God from the beginning. That's the number one. Amen? He said, therefore, God created man in his own image. Now look at it here. In the image of God created he him. One man. Male and female created he them. Now, please, for God's sake, if this is Christ, so there is male and female created he them on that day. So let us say this is Christ. And we are those male and female in Christ. We are all created, both Christ and us. So Christ can't be our God, because we are all created. So you see how ridiculous it is. So Abel does not chew and chew and chew. He just talks anyhow. Now number two, to show you that that statement is stupid. He now said, if that God created this man in chapter 1. That if this was Adam, then there would not be need for God to create man in chapter 2. So this one was Christ. The one he created in chapter 2 was Adam. Okay, question. What word did he speak before creating the one in chapter 2? Because without the word was nothing made that was made. So if this word is for Christ, which one did he speak to create the man? It means he made Adam in silence. And if he made Adam in silence, then he had no right to give Adam his word. For the Lord created the world by the word of his, by the power of his word, and upholds the same by the word of his power. God cannot give his word to what he did not bring about by his word. For word is salvation. It brings into existence, and then it also maintains and preserves. Why will you create somebody in silence? You never spoke, let us make him. You spoke every other thing, but you never spoke, let us make him. That is why in Genesis chapter 1, you don't hear, let us make angels. You don't hear, let there be angels. So they were not created then. For without the word, he can do nothing. So where is the word that God spoke to create Adam? If this is not the first, the Adam we are talking about. It means he made that Adam in chapter 2 in silence. And if he made him in silence, then why would he give him the word and say, of this tree, you shall surely eat, you shall not eat. Why would he give him the word? Will you be the master of who is not your servant? Will you be a father to who is not your son? So you see that just because chapter 2 now narrates how that creation in chapter 1 took place, Abel thinks these are two separate things. That chapter 1, God created man. Then chapter 2, he now made Adam. Okay. Meaning that Adam is not that man in chapter 1. But we don't see any word which God spoke before making Adam. Meaning Adam is not God's creation. For God never creates anything in silence. He said nothing was made without him. Without the word. Without speaking. Nothing. And it also means angels cannot serve Adam. Why? Because they move according to the bidding of the voice of the word of God. So what word was spoken over Adam? Nothing. The first Adam had word spoken over him. Have dominion. Rule. So angels can serve him and help him to meet this ministry. This other Adam has no ministry. He has no calling. Since I heard of you and your faith in the Lord and the love that you showed unto us, saints, I did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So what is the hope of his calling in the life of Adam? Since no word was spoken over Adam. Which means we were all vain and vanity. No word, no direction.